You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 10th of May. Locker clear out, chemistry, togetherness, all a beautiful thing. But can it be preserved? We'll talk about that, plus take your questions on a Thursday Facebook Live edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and a look behind the curtains. Tomorrow we'll do a pack Friday of the playoffs. And review some of that. Next week we'll dig into player reviews, probably for the next 2 weeks after that, until I take a little time off in May, so it's probably only a week until that, and we'll roll from there. So thanks for tuning in. We'll review Locker Clear Out today, and then we'll take your questions on the Facebook Live edition of the program. Thanks for everybody tuning in and being a part of it today. On Locked On Sports. We do this every Thursday. It's brought to you by our friends at Shamrock Auto Group, along with Mazuma USA, Rad Concrete Coatings, and The Advocates. So nice group of people, nice enough to sponsor the podcast and have it for you. So yesterday's Locker Clear Out was cool because the reoccurring theme on everything was chemistry and togetherness. And I thought Jarebko's comments probably may have held the whole weight, considering how many teams he's played for, that he's never been on a team or with a team that had this kind of togetherness to who they are. And I think, you know, there's an awesomeness to that. And there's a kind of, it's pretty awe-inspiring. And I think it comes from the core, which is that you have Donovan Mitchell, who's kind of who he is. You have Rudy Gobert, and then you have Joe Ingles, Ricky Rubio, but really you have Dennis Lindsay building it, and you have Quinn Snyder coaching it, and Quinn, from the first day he's ever taken over, talked about obvious unselfishness. And so what was built is cool, and I think Rubio is a huge part of it. I think Joe Ingles is a huge part of it. I think Gobert has it, as Ricky Rubio said, has an incredible desire to win. And so they kind of look through some of the personality traits of Rudy that drive them crazy and deal with it because he has a desire to win. And I think Donovan was really pretty close to the perfect rookie with being, you know, deferential, at the same time taking in thoughts, and at the same time being brilliant. And then you have generally veteran, pretty good guys who've all been through a lot, closing out that locker room, not causing problems, right? So Jarebko, Udo, Cephalosha were all added, have all bounced around a little bit. They're all pretty good guys. They understand how they're going to be successful in the league. They're not trying to necessarily prove that there's something else. AB is just a great teammate. And Favors probably was the one who could have rocked the boat and didn't, and deserves a huge amount of credit for being that guy. So that, you know, that was the reoccurring theme out of the locker room, out of Dennis Lindsay, out of Quinn Snyder. And I have two thoughts on it, one that is good news and one that's probably bad news. So let me, I never know how to do this, because if you start with the good, bad news and then go to the good news, then I think you diminish the good news. If I start with the good news and end with the bad news, you probably only remember what I said about the bad news. So try to remember both. The bad news, I'm going first, is that I've been in this league for 25 years, which is scary. It means I'm really old. A team that leaves in May or April or June is never, ever the same team when it comes back in September and October. Never. Front offices that decide to try to keep groups together because of their chemistry make disastrous mistakes. I've seen it time and time again. I remember a Seattle Supersonic team that I covered where they were literally crying on the podium at the end of the night, at the end of the season, when they lost in the second round of the Tim Duncan Spurs. They were crying. They were walking off the court together, all of them crying. They were at the podium crying. they were as close a group. By the time they had all had their contracts dealt with, people talking to them in the offseason, new contracts suddenly up, they were a disaster the next year. An absolute mess. Head coach might have changed. I'd have to go back and look if that's the year Nate left. But the chemistry was different. Teams, it just doesn't work that way. There is Rodney Hood a year ago compared to Rodney Hood this year. Totally different guy. Right? Totally different. Why? People talk to him. You're going to be the man. Gordon's leaving. It's your team. You're going to get max contract. You're a free agent. Talk. And he changed. He got impacted by the talk. It happens to every player everywhere. Donovan. The key to Donovan's career at this point is going to be avoiding the poison. I was talking to Brent Berry about it. Brent Berry's like, there's just so much poison out there. How is he going to be able to avoid the poison? That's an enormous question. By the way, the 2004-2005 Sonics, they did have a coaching change, but the roster was basically the same, and it was a disaster. They opened the year 2-5 right out of the chute. You knew it. Like, uh-oh, this isn't good. 5-8, 9-12. 13-17, fired coaches at some point. It was a mess. So Donovan will have people talking to him all year, all summer. Will he be the same? Probably not. Will he be different? Yes. Will he be worse? Don't know that, but he'll be different. They're all going to talk. Rubio's going to do all of his work and try to get back and have different personal expectations. A second year in the program. Rudy Gobert made the comment that he's got to be a bigger offensive force. Does he suddenly get bothered if he doesn't get the ball? Like, it's nothing wrong with any of these guys. But that's the truth and the reality of this league. Is that the group that leaves on May 10th today, all going in their separate directions. I love the here that Donovan's going with Epe possibly to EuroLeague. I'm sure that they'll, I don't know if Howell and Rudy will travel. It doesn't matter. They all go out their different ways, and they all come back, and they've all had new experiences at different times, and it will not be the same. Will it be worse? Not saying that. But to preserve chemistry in this league from one year to the next is impossible, and it's where most mistakes happen. Frankly, look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, right? Frankly, look at the Golden State Warriors this year. That team did not get along. That team struggled. Why? Just too much, right? Just too much. And they're winning. So I think that's the bet. Now, the good news, really this is 2 years in a row we've heard about this chemistry. Okay, well then that's beginning to be part of your culture. Now, culture, by the way, might be the singular most fragile thing in the world. It's what makes it so crazy. You have to have it. If you don't have it, you have no chance, and then one guy can destroy it. And then you have to figure out what you do if he's good enough and he destroys your culture, then what do you do about that? And do you send them onward because they're destroying your culture? Or now you're suddenly allowing that culture and it eats away at you. Like, it's that fragile. But the good news is while it will not be the same, the chemistry will have to be rebuilt. It'll be a different chemistry. And a different collection of players, and a different, even if you bring them all back, they're different people at that point. You have what feels like Millers, Lindsey, Snyder building something, a style of play, a type of player we acquire that match to create positive vibes multiple years in a row. That's the positive. And then I think Donovan is a league guy, Rudy's a league guy. But I used this about Chris Paul the other day, and I would use this. This is a great example. So I think the Rockets are prime right now. This is their chance. because having followed what happened with the Clippers and watching Chris Paul, right now it's all about winning, it's all good, it's all good. When Chris Paul yells at, and he yells at these guys incessantly, when he's yelling at you right now, it's all right, it's all in the sense of this winning, and we're winning, we won 65 games, and we're on our way, and look what he just did, and it's all good. And then you come back, and next October, he yells at you again, and you're like, oh, crap, I have this for 7 more months. And it's not the same. Or in the case of the Clippers, stories where they got to the point where they got along so badly they couldn't practice because nobody wanted to deal with it. Okay? And so that's a huge part of what I'm talking about. So maybe let's take Donovan or Rudy. I haven't seen Rudy barks. Rudy's barking is great until it's one too many times. Or it's November and you're like, really? Again? Or because Rudy goes for the offseason and everyone talks about how great he is and what a leader he is and this and that and he's got to be better offensively, then he starts barking for the wrong reasons. It's what happens every year. It's why, as much as we're attached and we're in love with this group and we feel so great about it, we meet it at the airport, it's going to change, and that's okay. And that's okay. In fact, I hope it changes a little bit, frankly. I think if we don't change and we just retain all of our players for the sake of rebuilding the chemistry, I'll be very nervous about that. Today's show is brought to you by the Shamrock Auto Group. Rob Taylor over at Shamrock Auto Group built out in Pleasant Grove. He built himself a dealership, a small little place, because frankly, as he says, I didn't like what my experiences were. So he went and got Brady Kimball, who is his technician for over 25 years, and had him go buy all the cars. So Shamrock Auto Group prides themselves and deals with nearly new cars, whether all brands you could imagine, Utah County assault vehicles primarily, but they can do anything for you. And if you go read the Google reviews about Shamrock Auto Group in Pleasant Grove, it's stunning. Google.com, cars.com, whatever you want to know. 50% of their customers come from prior customers. Customer loyalty is their number one thing. They're upfront and transparent in their pricing. It'll take about 5 minutes to give you out-the-door pricing. Just ask for it. They have a car report on every car. Really nice cars. Give Rob a call, 801-319-2250. He's fired up about the playoffs, so he will give you the family and friends discount if you tell them you're with Locked On Jazz. 801-319-2250. If you know exactly what car you want in the market, let them know. If you're in the market for a new car or truck or nearly new car or truck, have him check it out for you. 203 North, 2000 West. That's 2000 West, same road as North County Boulevard in Pleasant Grove. People come from all around the state, so feel free, and all across other states, actually, so feel free to make the check down to Pleasant Grove for your needs. Today's show is also brought to you by, Rad Concrete Coatings. I got it. I've got it narrowed down. I'm a little nervous, though, because Mike emailed me yesterday saying, hey, you have it. So I'm going to finally get Rad Concrete Coatings down. All right, waterproof deckings, garage floor coating. If you have a garage that's up, might need waterproofing, they can do it. And then we all know what happens with the death of salt, the harsh winters, the surface flaking, needing driveway resurfacing. Rad Concrete Coatings will do that for you. They go to the World of Concretes every year. They've got the latest and greatest stuff. Probably not the cheapest, but they will have the best products for you, the widest ranging available products from the World of Concretes, and they've got great applicators. That's what Mike feels best about, is what he's built in this company over 17 years, is that he's got the best applicators around. RadConcreteCoatings.com or RadUtah.com. Go to RadUtah.com, waterproof deck coatings, garage floor coatings, and put the contact form in for a bid. RadUtah.com. All right, let's get to your questions. With Igor Kokoschkov leaving, do you have any idea who might take his spot on the coaching staff? I will ask the first question is, how many spots on the coaching staff are we going to have to replace? So how many people is Igor taking with him? There's two scenarios where that happens. One is if someone's contract is up, they're free to go. Two is if they're getting a promotion. So I don't know how it's all defined about behind the bench versus in front of the bench or things of that nature. But someone like Antonio Lang, who spends a lot of time behind the bench, has a Phoenix tie, played there, very close with Igor. Does that become somebody that he then takes with him, and now you're replacing multiple people. The staff is really, really talented. And Igor's not going to be able to take a lot of guys from our staff because our staff was, frankly, a little inexperienced, and Quinn was able to get through it, and now they're all experienced and great. And so I think what you'll see, Igor's got to build himself a staff with a little bit more, I think, you know, previous head coaching experience and some of those things. Antonio Lang, by the way, is really someone who I feel like is unsung. You know, head coach in Japan for a long time, has the Duke background, played in the NBA briefly, communicates with his players great, has the best, most positive attitude every day of anyone I've been around. So we'll see. But this staff's really good. I mean, they have 8 primary coaches. Sagana Jop's on the staff as well. And then they have a bunch of guys that kind of really work hard, video coordinators and things. And they're really, really good. I don't know, you know, who gets Igor. Igor's spot, though, is one that I think I would call it irreplaceable in the sense that he's been with Quinn since 1999. And Quinn truly trusts him on a level where when Igor talks, Quinn will stop and listen at a level I think's higher than anyone else. I don't know. I think Alex Jensen very well could be the, quote, lead assistant, and then somebody else bumps up to the bench. But I really, I don't know how it will be. The staff's great. I mean, from Lamar Skeeter working with player development work with Dante, Jeff Watkinson did amazing work with Alec Burks this year. We all know about Johnny Bryant and his work. Zach Guthrie is, you know, really an offensive guy who really just understands this plays. Mike Wells does wonderful work. They all have their different roles. I've seen them in. They all can do more than they're being asked to. I mean, that's what's so brilliant about this group is that Quinn divides them out, gives them these areas of expertise. They do great work. And then I think they all have the capability of doing more. Like, I think that's what's so special about them. But I think it'll be interesting to see who Phoenix hires as their staff and then how many of those guys are ours. Tyson Newman. Always good questions from Tyson. Sounds like Donovan is going to work hard this summer. What things, in your opinion, should he work on? How much can he improve from now to next season? I mean, I've said this pretty clearly. From a pure offensive standpoint, there's 2 areas where I think he's got to get better. One will happen naturally. 2 will be work. Rookies traditionally struggle with the above-the-break 3. He did. I think I had on yesterday's show, he shot about 20% against Houston on the above-the-break 3 off the bounce. It's a hard shot. He's got such incredible strikes, such incredible bounce, but there's something that's not quite right in when he goes off the bounce into his 3, and he's got to figure that out. If he can get that shot up to 35%, he scores 30 points a game in this league. That's the break point. The other one is he's not perfect on his reads yet as a point guard because he doesn't have that experience. So if he's really going to go watch every game, which sounds incredible, then I think he'll see, you know, there's a moment in time on these plays where instead of getting so deep he can't pass out that he could probably hit somebody in the corner. He's pretty good at it when he does pass, but I think he's missing some opportunities to pass. But then again, this kid had, you know, double-digit assists twice in the last series, so you can just see his development is remarkable. The obvious one is the off-the-bounce 3. I think just the game will slow down for him. He'll get better and better along the way. Who is the ideal third All-Star you can add to this team to make them a contender in the West? Okay, so I would argue we are a contender in the West. Anytime you're in the Final Four, I think you're a contender. Are we elite like the Warriors and the Rockets? No. I mean, I think we need another scorer, and I think what we probably learned is we need somebody who can score in isolation. As the game becomes more switching, we need some guys that can just beat you in isolation. I think we also learned we need a stretch 4 who can shoot, who can really, really shoot it and play make a little bit. And I don't know how you get that guy, but, you know, Crowder, the team was bet. Here's what's interesting. Statistically, the team's good with Favors and Gobert. It's always better, though, when they don't have both of them on the floor. And so even with Crowder, it was better in the playoffs. But then, I mean, that's with Crowder going 3 of 24 shooting. So had we had a knockdown 4 who could really, and they're hard to come by, we can run through the list of stretch 4s at some point. There aren't very many of them. You'd like to have someone who can play make a little bit. I mean, the ideal guy is somebody who can rebound, play make, and hit those shots. And also, spreading the floor for Donovan is going to be vital. I would be curious to dig into Donovan's numbers. He got a lot of people thought that his numbers struggled because he was on the floor with Rubio. I would be curious to see what Donovan's numbers were this year when he had two bigs versus one big on the floor. That to me would be a bigger number. So I don't know who the third All-Star, I think, might be hard to come by. I guess Clint Capella is the Rockets. We need another piece. You go get a wing scorer. What are you doing with Joe Ingles? Right? He was really good this year. It's very difficult, these next steps. Is there somewhere we can go and see restricted area field goal percentage excluding dunks? I'm curious about Rudy. So I would make two comments to that. I guess you could extrapolate it out. You could go find his restricted area and then take out his dunks. But why? Like, other than you're trying to find something to criticize him for, why would you take out dunks? Like, so that means you're valuing a layup by someone who can't dunk more than a dunk. Like, that, to me, doesn't make a great deal of sense of why you would look for that piece, to be honest with you. Danny Amos, what a season. I agree. Chris Grader, is it possible to measure the impact of a player on his teammates' pack? Gortat's pack with John Wall or without him? If so, would having a high influence on teammates' pack be a low personal? I know this is so weird, but I don't generally. I just said I'd be curious watching Donovan's numbers. I don't generally believe the teammates impact pack a great deal. I know this is contrary to like kind of everyone's belief, but the individual use of a possession by a player kind of gets down to what that is. So the answer is no. And two, I'm not entirely convinced that other than maybe one or two or three players in the league, they're so great. LeBron, that players necessarily impact other players' efficiencies. Now, Russell Westbrook's negative impact on everyone is interesting and probably worth digging into for a little while. Today's show is brought to you by The Advocates. The Advocates, Utah injury attorneys, do really neat work. They've been in the business for 25 years. What I think's neat about what they do, like why are injury attorneys neat? Because they've built a 106-step process to make sure that they get you good results, nothing bad happens, and they treat you well. The way it works is you call 801-355-5550. That's 801-355-5550. An attorney calls you back within 60 seconds. Then when that attorney has called you back, they understand what your case is and understand what your injury situation is, and then they work through it from there, putting it into the system. And it's really incredible how they figured it out. Damon got a client's car out of a lot onto the Advocates' property for him. He reduced Damon's one of the experts they have. He reduced the fees to take care of the interest on the loans he got. He used the loans for medical bills. These are the kind of guys that they have working in the process to help out. Like they have experts. I didn't explain that very well, but they have experts in the field at every of those stops to make sure that they can help you out. And that, to me, is what separates the Advocates from anyone else. Call 801-355-5550. Help you get back to your normal life after an accident. Today's show is also brought to you by Mazuma USA. We just went through the tax purpose, and it's such a pain. Nobody likes April 15th. We know that. So let's do it better this year. If you have 1 to 5 employees and you're not using Mazuma, you're losing money and clarity. For $75 a month, you get a bookkeeper, reports, unlimited consultation from a CPA, personal and business tax returns. So you call Mazuma. They'll give you a free consultation, 801-980-2102. That's 801-980-2102. Tell them you're locked. Use the promo code LOCKED. You get 25% off. And then if you sign up with them, you'll get on a call with your bookkeeper and your CPA. They set you up. Immediately get your first set of reports. Every month you get a report. Every quarter you get a tax planning call. At the end of the year, all your tax documents are ready for you. No contract, canceled any times. No hidden fees. 801-980-2102 or MazumaUSA.com. That's MazumaUSA.com. All right, let's get our final set of questions. Clearly, DL is fantastic. I think you're probably talking about Mitch Manning is talking about Dennis Lindsay, not David Locke. Given the brilliance of Gobert and Mitchell trades on draft night and the brilliance of the Hood-Crowder trade, the Joe Johnson release to create space for Royce, is the a point where other GMs simply think I'm not going to make a deal with Lindsay because I'm probably on the short on the stick? No, I don't think so. And that's not Dennis's. Dennis has relationships with everyone and is trying to. No one. The funny thing is, the only people ever trying to screw anyone are in fantasy or Danny Ainge. But like, we're not like making fantasy trades where you're trying to abuse the other person. They actually all know they have to work together again. In fact, of the matter, they all know they're going to get fired and they might have to get hired again. And so there is a togetherness to that that takes place that's that is a little more so than you think. People are trying to are not trying to screw each other over. They're all trying to win, though. To your post about teams changing, favors is the most variable. In order to compete with the top two or three teams in the league, we need to figure out the power forward position and how we can add shooting without sacrificing too much on defense. I mean, that's the essence of the offseason to me. Favors and Gobert are incredible together. Our essence and our core is defense, as Dennis said. Derek can't play against the Rockets and the Warriors with Rudy, right? Like, that's a very difficult matchup. Or Rudy can't play with Derek. Like, it doesn't, I'm not criticizing one or the other. But that's just the reality. And that's the most difficult question is how do we make, and the 16 minutes a night Derek plays backup center are incredibly important. Now, Udo's pretty good, but he's not Derek on that pick and roll. And Derek does things that we're, if we don't have Derek back because we're trying to spread our team out, we're going to miss, right? So Derek's incredible pick and roll player. Can play out on the pick and roll in a way that Rudy can't. There's a bunch of things that gives Quinn that other people don't have. I think the answer on Derek, quite frankly, and we'll talk more and more and more and more and more about this, is I think the issue with Derek is quite simply, and I don't know if this makes sense, what else is out there? And I don't mean that like it's something's better than Derek, but there is a point where we're the only team playing the way we are. They're probably both centers. I know Derek said he was power forward yesterday. But and there's a great value to it. But is there something that can make us better either this year or next year and move us down the road that helps Rudy a little bit on his roles, helps Donovan on his penetration, makes the team better? We got to be better than 16th offensively. Frankly, as somebody said to me in the league, when you have someone like Rudy that's as great as he is defensively, you're allowed to have a crappy defensive player somewhere along the way to try to, you know, cover up that part. Can we find someone that moves us into the top 10 offensively while we stay top 5 defensively? And then we're great. You've got to stay top 5 defensively. Have to. If you're going to make the second round. So the question is then, if there's nobody available this year, which there might not be, but there is somebody in a year from now, then I think what you might have to do is make it, you know, see if Derek's available for a one-year deal, then you do it. You know, is Derek for a three-year deal and you're really tying yourself to this for three more years while the league continues to spread out further and further? That's a hard call. There's some reasons why the answer to that is yes. There's also some reason why the answer is that no. But I think that core of all those decisions comes back to what else is available. All right, one more question. Why, when a guard gets totally isolated on a big, why do they dribble around outside the paint 3 or 5 seconds and then take a bad three? Well, they don't. They shouldn't. But Capella's good. What they do is they back up so they can come downhill at the big and have momentum. If you're just standing still against the big in his strength, in his length, then you have to go wide around the outside of him and you have no downward. So you back up so you can come downhill at him. Is it possible to put together a package for Kawhi? I guess it is. Are you willing to give up Rudy? I mean, that's the answer, is you're giving up Rudy. They're not going to, I mean, we don't have three pieces you put together. We don't have any pieces you're putting together for a blockbuster trade that don't include Rudy or Donovan. right? We just don't. A hearing that we are positioning ourselves for the 2019's free agency summer. Is there any truth to this? I have not heard that. I think we're always positioning ourselves for the best option we can have with a futuristic view. Dennis has been always with a futuristic view. Thanks for joining me. Great questions today. I appreciate it very much. We'll be doing this Thursdays throughout the offseason. Jazz.
No more games.
It is Locked On Jazz. Have a great day. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.